FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
Please. Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man?
Chef!
Can you dig it?
What the hell do you have to lose?
I'm just saying. Chris Arps, what's going on?
I think that's going to be part of the 2020 presidential campaign. Last night, we saw the beginning in earnest of the 2020 presidential
campaign. I think you're right. It was sort of a kickoff kind of event, wasn't it?
Well done to
his base. But one thing he said right in the middle of it, and I don't have it on tape this morning, but I'm going to find it. He said, why the hell would you want to go back?
Yeah.
And his point is, all of these, how many are there? 35 Democrats running against him now? No, I think there's only 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. But however many are declared, and there'll probably be 3 times that many by the time the primary season really rolls around, all they talk about is stopping whatever he's doing. Well, you're going to stop low unemployment. You're going to stop all these jobs being created. You're going to stop positive trade policies. You're going to stop peace talks with North Korea. What exactly is it that you want to stop in America? A wall being built to protect the southern border? I mean, why would you want to go back?
I mean, he is totally upending everything that that they want to do to him. I posted on my Facebook page yesterday where 69% of Americans are looking positive towards their financial future. You know, you've got 3.7% or whatever it is, unemployment. You know, what's really funny now is, you know, the president is talking about withdrawing troops in Afghanistan. He's talking about withdrawing troops all over the world. And you have the party of the doves, the Democrats, are the main ones arguing, oh, you need to have troops there. You're pulling out our allies. And it's like, you know, that's ultimately what Americans want. You can argue if it's right or wrong, but Americans do want their sons or daughters home, especially after Iraq, after almost 20 years. But it's just seeing the whole apple cart upended and seeing Democrats arguing for things that they never would. Just to oppose this president is just fascinating.
Well, Trump is a non-politician in that he doesn't go out and say, I don't believe he goes out and says things at these rallies in hopes of convincing minorities or convincing any group that they should support him. I don't think he does that. I think a lot of politicians do that. They go out with key messaging and this is what they want to do. Trump doesn't do that. But we saw the poll after the State of the Union. And among independents, 71% approved of that speech. And that's got to make the Democrats in this country a nervous wreck, because he's not actively seeking it out, but they're watching the results and they're starting to realize what's so bad about his policies.
But I'm not saying anything is bad with the poll, but I wonder, when you look at the poll, were people giving him that high of an approval rating because what they have seen of the president is somebody that's bombastic and is crude sometimes and is kind of, you know, mean, as the Democrats would say, and they saw him at the State of the Union as a statesman and he looked presidential and he was conciliatory? It was that more than the tone of the speech, more than a support of the president per se?
I didn't perceive the 71% as an approval rating of Trump. It was an approval of what he had to say and how he said it in that particular speech. But my point is, at what point does that start to turn the tide of independents who he will have to win again in 2020? You've got people who are looking at what he's saying, and then they're obviously feeling the results of it in their pocketbook. How does that not scare the hell out of the left in this country, who want to convince you that we're going to hell in a handbasket, and most people don't feel that way?
I think what will change the moderates' minds is when you see these upcoming Democratic caucuses and primaries, and you see the Star Wars bar scene that the Democratic primary field is, and they're talking about Green New Deals and Medicare for everyone, college for everyone. I think that'll make a lot of middle-row people's minds.
The Star Wars bar scene.
I mean, it's
a great description of the group that comes together to support the left in this country. It's an odd lot sometimes.
Yes.
314-241-9797. We're going to get more into this in a minute. I want to talk about the situation in Virginia. I want to talk about the border wall deal, at least what we know about it, and pick the brain of one Christopher Arps, who's in the studio. We'll be right back.
That walls do not save lives. Walls end lives.
Please clap.
Yeah. That was Beto's big moment last night. Chris, what'd you think?
You are absolutely right. That's pretty stupid.
Honestly, they think they can be Trump, but they're not authentic is their problem. They think that Donald Trump goes out and makes all this stuff up and just says stuff to get attention, and it's not the case. He says what he believes.
Yeah, it's symbolism without substance there. Mr. Beto O'Rourke is talking about.
And here's why,
a bunch of nonsense.
Here's why Trump is so real. So he goes out last night, he's talking about the wall, and he said, it's ridiculous for these people, including this mayor down here, to tell me walls don't work. 1,200 murders across the border in Juarez, 23 here. Walls work. All of these Democrats like Nancy and Chuck who don't want walls live behind walls because they work. I live behind a wall,
yeah,
he said, because walls work.
Yep.
There's a wall at the White House for a reason, right?
Yep.
He lives behind walls. They work. It's stupid for them to make the argument that they don't. What's the other thing? Go to that next bite from Betafish there. Cut 29.
We know that there is no bargain in which we can sacrifice some of our humanity to gain a little more security. We know that we deserve and will lose both of them if we do.
Really?
We stand for the best traditions and values of this country, for our fellow humanity and who we are when we are at our best. And that's El Paso, Texas. I'm glad the country's here.
Did he just run a marathon? Why is he out of breath?
And it's just awesome.
Hey, Beto, why don't you go ask the people who've lost loved ones to illegal aliens about whether or not they're sacrificing their humanity for safety. What do you think about that? I wonder how they would feel about that. Enough of that, idiot. Let me ask you real quick about the situation in Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, I just have to compliment you and Tony with what you guys have done with the Weekend Report. Mm-hmm. Informative, fast-paced. I love listening to you guys on the weekends. It's good stuff, and I recommend people tune in. It's 5 to 7 now, right?
Yeah, it's 5 to 7.
Yeah, I was listening this weekend. And so the situation in Virginia, the president said there earlier, this Northam guy is a gift. I hope we find more of them because they're taking the headlines away from us.
Right.
I heard you this weekend draw a distinction between people like who's the attorney general down there who claims that he dressed up like a rapper when he was in college, versus people who do it to look like. You give me the example, because I heard you say it this weekend. You said people that did minstrel shows and stuff like that who were making fun of Al Jolson and other people years ago. You drew a difference between those. You still see that?
Yeah, I think you have to make the context. And it was very interesting. I read somewhere on the internet yesterday, they did a poll on people dealing with blackface. And I think it was a plurality of people. I think it was 60% of people said that blackface is okay. I think it was for Halloween or for certain circumstances. People were like given a pass. And I think that you just have to make the distinction between people that are wearing blackface in order to be racist or derogatory towards black people or in that, to people that may be honoring a particular black person or celebrity. That the attorney general's saying that he was dressing up as the rapper in 1980. I don't believe that. White people weren't listening to rap in 1980. So I don't believe he was going to this party as that rapper, is honoring him. He may have heard of him. It's like, yeah, this is who I'm going to be. But I don't believe he would admire him. But I just think you just have to make that distinction.
Who was around back then? Was that who he said it was?
Then,
like, yeah. Run DMC
Curtis Blow
or something?
I mean, he was huge in the hip-hop scene, but he still hadn't really broken mainstream. And that's who he said he went in. But I just think you have to make that distinction. And I think this is just a part of just the whole political correctness movement just going amok. And what's beautiful is you see the Democrats are the ones who believe in this so much and fostered are the ones that are caught up in all of this, especially the revisionist history aspect of putting events that happen currently into yesterday's context and trying to overlap them and do that. And as we've seen, you can't. And they've done that to Republicans for years, and now it's all coming back on them. So I'm enjoying it, and I hope Northam stays in office for 3 years. I really do. He is the gift that keeps on giving.
So the other twist here is that the lieutenant governor is a young, up-and-coming African-American in Virginia politics who's now charged facing allegations from two different women of sexual assault. Interesting, we had Kayleigh McEnany on from the RNC. They have called as an organization for Northam and for the attorney general to step down over the blackface things. But they've said that in the case of Fairfax, we need to hear all the evidence. There needs to be a hearing here, just like they said during the Kavanaugh hearing.
Yeah, I believe in that, but it's hypocritical because they didn't do that for Kavanaugh. But there's one aspect of all of these sexual harassment claims that I question. Not any woman coming forward. She should if she's being abused and all that. But there's this standard now that if someone accuses you of sexual harassment and they give details, and then a day or two or a week later, someone else comes forward and says, and may have a relationship with you from recent or years ago, and they say that you assaulted them also, and they give similar details that have been out in the media for days, it's automatically seems to be accepted like that when somebody could get those details from following the story. But it's like automatic.
That it legitimizes the first claim.
Yeah, it's like,
claim.
Oh,
well, they did that with Kavanaugh. They did that with Kavanaugh.
Story. Oh, it's got to be legitimate. I mean, I think that's just a dangerous standard.
Well, and but again, you're right. They did that in the Kavanaugh case as well. And you know, I don't know. I'm not sure the guy survives this. I don't know how he survives it.
He doesn't survive mainly because the Democrats can't have the double standard of pushing for women's rights and trying to get Kavanaugh out of there during the run up to the 2020 presidential election. There's no way.
Well, plus the fact that, you know, in this particular case, you have the mainstream media, once again, the clothes stripped off the emperor, claiming that they held the story because they didn't have corroboration on the Fairfax case. They didn't hold anything on Kavanaugh, and they had even less corroboration there.
And one other thing that's kind of being lost in this whole story is, Susan Blasey Ford, whatever her name was automatically believed. We have to believe her. She's the woman. And then you have this African-American college professor who Fairfax supposedly assaulted or raped. And we have to give due process. And people don't seem, the liberal causes don't seem to be coming to such a vigorous defense of where's Allred, the woman that the female that's the lawyer that's the lawyer for all these people. Where's Gloria Allred?
I'll borrow this. It's not an original thought, but I saw Ann Coulter tweet this out. She goes, "We'll know this claim is legitimate if this woman has a second front door on her house." Do you remember that? That Blasey Ford claims all this came forward because she and her husband were renovating their house, and she insisted on a second door because she felt emotionally trapped from what Kavanaugh allegedly did to her 40 years earlier, which was complete hogwash. But
I guess
the second door was put in so they could rent another room in their house to a college student. She didn't have access to it anyway. It was silly.
I guess the Lowe's credit card was taken.
Yeah, thank you. Imagine what that cost in California.
No.
Put us to renovate anything? Sure, they tax it to death. All right, 314-241-9797. How about caller number 8 gets a pair of tickets to see the Blues and the Maple Leafs February 19th, Enterprise Center. The first 12,000 people through the door get a Blues quarter-zip pullover. So call in right now, 314-241-9797. Go to stlouisblues.com/tickets. And grab your seat today. We're back in a minute with Chris Arps. Well, let me mention the reason I brought up the whole smelling alcohol in your breath thing is that Dave Glover and I are going to get together coming up on the 27th of this month. You might smell alcohol in our breath. I'm just saying, because we're going to have a whiskey, wine, and culinary evening out at the Rack House in Cottleville. Lore Wine and Spirits is helping us out with this. They're going to bring in some of their great bourbons and their wines, and we're going to taste them out there. So the tickets are on sale. There are VIP level tickets where you get in a little early at 5:30, and then there are the general admission tickets, which started about 6:30. All the details and the tickets are at 971talk.com under our events tab there. And here's the thing about it. they've only got a limited amount of space. So the tickets are going pretty quickly. I wouldn't waste too much time if you're going to buy them, because we'd hate to see you miss out on that. It's going to be a lot of fun. You and Becky are going to be there,
we
right?
We have pre-ordered the Uber.
So awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Cool.
Nice.
You're really on top of
catching
right home.
Can you do that, really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you could order it that far out.
I'm trying
pre-order now.
I'm trying to insinuate we're going to drink.
And there's a cigar bar there, Chris Arps. So you have to dig into your stash at home and bring out some nice selections.
Stash of cigars. Let's make
you know what I meant.
To be clear. Yeah.
You knew exactly what I meant. Hey, let me get to a line, too. Madonna's been holding on here a while. Madonna, you're on the radio. Thanks for holding on.
Good morning, sir. Thank
yes.
you for taking my call.
You bet.
Today is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. I have two quotations from Abe Lincoln from the book of the Wit and Wisdom of Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
Number one, the quotation, progress. I'm a slow walker, but I never walk backwards. That's Donald Trump today. He's not going backwards. The
nope.
second quotation is on rebellion. Those who fairly carry an election can fairly suppress a rebellion. That's the new socialism coming to America. We got to suppress it.
Well put. I appreciate the phone call. You know, we gave away presidential bobbleheads earlier. Did you know that?
You know, one of my favorite Abraham Lincoln quotes is, I am all that I am because of my mother.
Nice.
There you go.
Hope mom's listening this morning.
She is listening.
Is she cool? Love your mom. She's a sweetheart. This is one of my favorite Abraham Lincoln quotes.
In Latin, she would be called Babia Majora.
If she were a president, she'd be Abraham Lincoln.
Wayne's World. Sorry. Thought of that earlier.
Now I know I've never seen those movies.
You've never seen Wayne's World?
Never.
Me neither, Chris.
No
they
interest?
None. At
None.
First,
None.
They didn't get my no. reference earlier. The they thought I was doing a bad Ronald Reagan imitation when I said, yeah. If he'd be a president, she'd be Abraham Lincoln. That sounds nothing like my Ronald Reagan.
You don't hear Wayne's World references very often, Mark.
There you go again. That's my Ronald Reagan.
That's pretty good.
It's like Mr. Burns off The Simpsons.
No.
Just
Ronald Reagan was the original. It's like comparing Led Zeppelin and Greta Van Fleet. There's just no comparison.
It's got a little too much bass in it for Ronald Reagan.
By the way, we're going to be giving away more of those bobbleheads all week, so stay tuned all the way up to President's Day. We'll be giving one away. Today was Abe Lincoln. Help me out here. What's tomorrow? Is it George Washington?
We got a Washington.
I think
we
tomorrow's
got a Trump.
GW. Then we're giving away a Trump on Valentine's Day. What a gift for your loved one.
And
a Trump bobblehead.
In February? Is Trump's birthday?
No, it's President's Day. It's for President's
Day. Just for President's
Not that
Day.
President specifically, but
971talk.com/presidents.
Got it. All right. Chris, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Stay tuned for the weekend report. Of course, the 5 to 7 on Saturdays with Chris and Tony and assorted guests. And we'll see you back here tomorrow morning.